2,000 years ago, the first greeting by John the Baptist to our Lord was that, "Behold, the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world." So the first appearance of our Lord, the first public calling of the Creator of the universe, is the metaphor of the Lamb. I don't think it's just a metaphor. Literally, our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself as a sacrificial lamb to take away our sin. And so by thinking about the metaphor of the lamb, we picture our Lord Jesus Christ, the way he conduct himself when he was here on earth. And so in some way, we like to follow his example, modeling ourselves as Christ appear in this world. Has he walked? Has he talked? Has he first encountered those who he come to save? That he was a lamb. So I'm trying to think about being Lamb of God, following that metaphor. And I want to take some time to link that image of the lamb to our Chinese culture. I had a discussion with some of my friends who are not Christian over dinner, because they celebrate the year of what? Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year, is the year of what? See, very complicated issue, because we were with a group of English-speaking, you know, Asian, Chinese, and so the terminology becomes a debate, right? But if you know Mandarin or Cantonese or Toisan or Fuzhou or other language, I wonder what the year is in India or maybe other dialect. So in English, there's a, you know, what is it? But in Chinese, it's pretty clear, right? It's the year of what? Yang. Anything else? Just yang, right? But what kind of yang? Huh? I see the year of the ram, right? And I see the year of the goat, right? I've seen the year of the sheep. So as a pastor, when I was having dinner with this group of friends, we had a film on Asian American issue. And so I said, "What about lamb?" He said, "Nah, not lamb. Lamb is a little baby thing, so weak. Nah, no, no. I don't think the you know, Zodiac, when they constructed this idea, have a picture of a little lamb. No, 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 we never heard of that lamb, right?" But as I think about it, I'm not going to open to every passage of the scripture. I think if you Google, I think the idea of the ram is might be official, probably because the image of a ram is powerful, right? He's got a horn, he's got this, you could picture him in this sort of hilly mountain, you know, getting ready to what? To ram. To boom, you know. I see a lot of those pictures. So that presents a powerful image of a year of the lamb, or ram. Well, it turned out that in the book of Genesis, when Abraham was called by God to leave everything behind and to follow and worship him, Abraham took that commandment literally. God asked Abraham to give up his best, give up what he loved the most. And so right away, for some reason, Abraham go to the most valuable possession, or the thing that he loves the most. Turned out that it was his son, Isaac, right? So without knowing exactly what God wants, except that God wants him to give all that he has, to give of his best, to sacrifice, to show his love and worship of God, he brought along his son. In fact, the son said, wait, we're going to offer sacrifice. Where is the, did he say what? The son said, where is what? No, he said, where is the, well, go back and read. It's not the ram, right? Where is the lamb? And Abraham said, oh, don't worry, God will provide. But within his heart, Abraham was ready to give up the thing that he loved the most. And because of his willingness to sacrifice his very own son, God said, this is not what I intended for you to give up your son. Because I, in fact, will provide you with a sacrifice. When God called you and I to give up all that we have, he will be the one who give you what you could give back to him. Interesting idea of when you walk by faith, God will bless you, and in return, you return his blessing as a demonstration of your gratitude. And so when Abraham was willing to give up his best, God provided. And guess what he provided? He provided a lamb? Ram? How do you say ram? How'd you know it was a ram? Well, you go back tonight and read carefully then, okay? One of the reasons you could know it's a ram is because this guy got caught in what? In these bushes. Why? Because his horn was what? Curly. So you know it's not a what? Well, goat. Right? Sheep may not have horn. So because the horn of the goat is what? You can't get caught, you know, right? You just come pull right out. Because this guy had this sort of round thing, he was caught. And Abraham said, praise the Lord, God's provided. And so the idea of this ram is a substitution. God provided our Lord Jesus Christ to substitute. So this ram died in place of Abraham's son. It's a substitution, one for another. And the idea of ram is literally, in Chinese, ram is called, anybody know Chinese? What is ram called? Di yang. Well, low. Because this guy, the ram is always what? His head is lower because he's ready to what? To ram, to kind of butt head with another ram. The idea of the ram is in the book of Genesis. First lesson that Abraham received is that God would provide. So when God called you to give all that you have, you are actually giving back to our Lord, our God, what he has given you. Your life, right? That's you. So you give back your life. He has given you a job. Some of you don't have a job yet. He's giving you a smart to pass exam. You give back your mind, right? Instead of just using it for your own, and you give back God's gift of intelligence and wisdom, abilities. So the idea of Abraham tells us this ram is provided by God. It is a substitute. But this ram had to what? Give up his life. Right? So the Chinese talk about ram. But I think more popular is the idea of a goat. Have you seen posters? Right? A lot of the idea of it's a goat. It's a goat. So what does the scripture say about whether this image of a goat? Goat has what? Straight horn, has a whisker, right? It's an old goat, right? It's a male. I don't know, female, no, right? Female don't have. How do you tell a male goat from a female goat? One's got whiskers. In the book of Leviticus, people of God is asked to bring not a ram, not a sheep, at a certain time to bring a goat. And this goat is to offer to God. But unlike the ram, this goat does not get killed. When you bring a goat, when you go, you know, worship God, in one aspect of your worship, you bring a goat. This goat is not to be what? Killed. What do you do with a goat? Huh? Milk it, all right. What do you do with the goat? You bring to the priest, right? Bring to the priest. The priest doesn't kind of the goat. The priest lay his hand over the goat. Why? Because the symbol of laying on hand is not to anoint the goat, you know, goat, you are goat. Well, the idea of the laying of hand is that the priest take your sin, right? All the thing you did bad, you know, all year. And the symbol of taking your sin and laying the hand on the goat is to put your guilt, your sin, right? No longer yours now, all right? I'm taking what you did last night, what you did 2 months ago, all the nasties, right? Gets right on the goat, okay? That poor goat, right? Takes on your sin and guilt. Then what do you do with the goat? What does the priest do to the goat? Huh? Kill it? Nah. Keep it? Hey, how'd you know? Good guess. All right, so what the priest does is that he lay hand on the goat, take all your guilt, all the nasty you've done, and put it on the goat, and then he goes, right? And the goat, where does the goat go? He runs away where?
Outside.
Outside where?
The street.
How far?
Very far.
Why?
Because it's done.
Huh? So the goat is let loose into the forest. Are you going to go look for the goat?
No.
Why?
Too much work.
It's expensive. That goat costs you a lot of money, right? To buy the goat. Can't you go get it back and come back with it next year? No. The goat is to take your sin. It's a symbol, right? And take your sin and get lost. Run into the forest. You shouldn't see it. You shouldn't go after the goat, because the principle is that when God forgives your sin, when the goat takes on your sin, it runs as far as you can. You can't find it, right? Just like in the scripture, when God forgives you in Christ, your sin is forgiven. Your guilt is free. Don't look for it. Don't dig it out in a few months and say, oh, this is really nasty stuff, you know? How could God forgive? No, you chase him. Get out of here, you know, right? You give him a dirty look, right? He'll run. How many goats would come back? Crazy? And get killed? Make goat soup, goat cheese? No. Most goats wouldn't come back, you know? You let them go. That's the principle. When God forgive you and I, the goat represent is called, what do you call that goat? Scapegoat. You look in the Old Testament, the Hebrew term for scapegoat is someone who what? You blame them. You, I didn't do this. You did it. And in the scripture provided metaphor, someone who takes away your sin has a scapegoat. That's where the term comes from. The goat takes on your guilt. You blame the goat. I didn't do it. You did. Get out of here. As far as the goat will run, that means that you and I, when you confess your sin, when the Lord forgive you of all your unrighteousness, the scripture says, as far as the left, the east from the west, God don't remember because of the sacrifice that was made in Christ. It's not because of how good you will be to keep your salvation. It's not how holy you're going to be after you ask God to forgive you. God don't even see your sin. He see you and I through the eye of Christ. God has forgiven you. This is open session. You act like he's not there. Get lost, you know. Don't bother me. I have confessed my sin. You tag them. when you buy a goat, okay, in the Old Testament, when you come to worship God, right, you don't just roll out of bed and go worship God, right? You got to go to the, what, pen, and you got to pick out a lamb if you're going to sacrifice it. If you got to pick out a goat, the goat can't be crippled, okay? So before a worshiper is to bring an animal, God said prepare. You got to look at the goat. Go to the market, look at it, right? Check out he doesn't limp, he doesn't have blemishes, right? You check out his profile. You maybe take a picture, selfie, right? So you got to know that goat. So by the time you bring the goat, this is a goat that you got to know. You might have kept the goat in the house, right? Now, how many of you been to Brooklyn? Are you live in Brooklyn? Brooklyn, okay. In Brooklyn, right, there are a lot of the industrial building. One story, right? Big, the wall is like a whole block, right? It used to be industrial building. What has happened recently is because many Muslim have moved into the area. They had converted those establishment into what? Pen for goats and lambs, chickens. They are, at night, I've seen a film, there's a documentary made by an NYU student, and I saw a couple of years ago. So at night, you see these tractor trailer coming, right? Pulling into these Brooklyn warehouses, and they open the gate, open the door, guess who comes out? Goats. They come in, close the pen. And so when the Muslim observe their religious holiday, see, why do you think Muslim observe those holiday? They got it from where? Old Testament. Muslim believe in the Old Testament. Many of the Islamic teaching is rooted in the Old Testament. They don't believe that much in the New Testament. So when they think of the sacrificial lamb, they think of goats. They sacrifice it. They're not a scapegoat, right? They kill them. And so the guy who buys, it costs you about $1,000, right? So you check it out, make sure it's a nice goat. So they bring their family, children, right? So they surround themselves and they look at the goat. They don't just pick one. You pay $1,000, right? You got to pick the right one. So you get to know the goat. You bring it home. Maybe you don't bring it home. You watch it a little bit and they sacrifice. And the children watch that process. So the Muslim believes that their sin is forgiven because of a life substitute, right? So it's, you probably get to know your goat. So when another goat come back, I don't know you. Okay.
When sacrificing a goat, do you like need to stuff it first?
Well, you eat it.
You need to stuff it?
Well, I don't know how do you prepare. Stuffed goat. Anybody have stuffed goat? You know, I don't know. Maybe. No, I don't think they stuff it, do they? That's beyond my research now. So the first is in Genesis. It's called a ram, right? The second is goat, scapegoat. The third is what? Lamb. Where was the first appearance of the lamb? When the people of Israel, the Hebrews, who were in bondage in Egypt? How many of you saw the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments? How many of you never saw it? You got to show it, right? Anybody have a youth group? Show Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments talked about God liberating the Jews who were in bondage in Egypt. How did they get to Egypt? Remember Joseph? He was sold by his brother. Instead of killing Joseph because he was such an arrogant guy, right? All his brother hated him because he was always smart. His father's favorite. He was wearing his coat, you know. And they tried to kill him. One of the brother said, no, no, don't kill him. Sell him. Well, at least we make some money, right? And then he wind up in Egypt. As a result of him being in Egypt, the people of the Jews, the Hebrew, became populate Egypt. And they became slaves later. So God freed the Hebrew from slavery. 10 plagues. First plague, Egypt, the Pharaoh said, okay, I'll let you go. No, 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 I changed my mind. Changed his mind 10 times. Until the last one is what? What's the last plague? The firstborn in any, not just the Egyptian, anybody in that kingdom was going to be what? Okay, so God told Moses to instruct the people of God to what? To take a lamb before they were to leave. Exodus, the term Exodus means you get out of there, get out of Egypt, get out of bondage. We are out of bondage of sin. But the lamb, right, was a metaphor for God, again, not only substitute, but a sacrifice. It's called the Passover lamb. Why is it called Passover lamb? Anybody celebrate a Passover? You know what the Passover is? Okay, some of you who are Jewish, no? Okay. So the idea of the lamb, this is the third metaphor that in the scripture, that the lamb that was slain, before the Jews were to leave Egypt, they were to have a meal. So the head of a household, the father, was to go and pick out a perfect lamb, no blemish, not crippled, not some just second-rate lamb, your prime lamb, blemish. And the father was going to provide this opportunity for the family to come together the night before they were to leave Egypt, the night before they would be free from the bondage of the Egyptian. The idea of freedom, liberated from the bondage of slavery that holds you back. And the Jews were instructed to take the lamb, right? Sling the lamb, and then let the blood drain. And what did they do with the blood? They take the blood and they paint. What did they do? Where did they paint it? The door. Above the door, and then what? It's almost like the cross. And why did they do that?
So they don't get killed too.
Why wouldn't they get killed? Just because they have blood. Because the angel that performed this judgment on those who are without the blood in the doorposts, they would what? The angel of death would pass over. Pass over those home that has the blood of the lamb smashed in their doorposts. So the idea of passing over means that you are escaped from what? The penalty of death. And as Christian, our Lord Jesus Christ is our what? Passover lamb. Because of his blood that was shed on the cross, and because of our faith in that blood being efficacious in saving us, we are Passover. Death and sin have no power over us. Death comes and says, there's blood. Let's go Passover. So the third metaphor is the Passover lamb. Christ is the Passover lamb. So, in fact, in the book of Corinthians, Paul reminds us Christ sacrificed, gave his life. He was Passover. He is our Passover lamb. Anything else? ram, goat, and lamb. How about sheep? We're the sheep, see? I don't think the Bible ever talked about, behold, the sheep of God, right? Here comes the sheep. No, no, we are the what? We're the sheep. The sheep is the flock. And so the metaphor of lamb, ram, now, how does we apply this? The scripture said Jesus was a lamb that was led to slaughter. In the book of Isaiah 53, describe this servant who was willing to be like a lamb, not a lion. A lamb is what? Gentle, innocent. When you lead him, he doesn't cry out a lot. He's almost willing to give his life. This gentleness, this way of dealing with the world, dealing with life, dealing with relationship, it's sheep-like, lamb-like. It's a metaphor. Now, how many of you follow the Chinese tradition, the Year of the Lamb? What is the sort of lesson that people talk about, the Year of the Lamb? Anybody? Any do? So, you know, as a pastor, I got to prepare my sermon, so I do research, right? So the Year of the Lamb is considered to be the yin, yang. What is yin and yang? You ever see the symbol? One is white, like light, the other is dark, right? So in the Asian, in that metaphor, the yin and yang is like holistic. Most of us, we think of yin, that is the dark part, has not good, okay? Right? So there's a Chinese description of hell called yam gan, yin jan. When you die, you go to the yin, not the yang, right? I think there's a very forced dichotomy. Yin and yang in that conception really describe two way of life, two attitude. So yin is shady, not necessarily bad, okay? Yang is bright, not necessarily good too. This year is the year of the lamb or ram or goat. And as Christian, I would say, let's say this is the year of the what? Lamb, the Lamb of God. So we follow the example of Christ. We observe, we study God, our Lord Jesus Christ's life on earth. The 30 years that he lived, how did he conduct himself? Yin or yang? Well, the Chinese or Asians say this is the year of the goat or ram. It's yin, right? What is yin and yang? I went to China last year. One of the things I did was to visit two places. I'd never been to Beijing before. I'd never been to Nanjing, okay? So, you know, some of my background, I studied planning and architecture. So I try to analyze the architectural, the planning assumption of these two places. Very different. How many of you have been to Nanjing? Okay. Nanjing is considered yin, yang, okay? Why? Because it's very shady. Not bad, shady. A lot of trees, right? Provide shade. Not shady, okay? A lot of trees. They plant a lot of trees. And if you go to the Nanjing War City, right? The wall is what? It's not rectilinear. It's not square. It meanders, right? It goes around like that. In fact, if you know the profile of the first emperor, his name is Zhu Yunzhang, right? He's got a funny chin, sticks out like that, right? He's got a funny looking guy. The first emperor of China who overthrew the Mongol, right, the Yuan dynasty, was a strange looking guy, right? So his architect and planner said, "Emperor, we made the plan according to your profile." So the profile of the plan, I studied it. Look, just like a guy with a funny chin, okay? Meandering, right? Through a lot of riverway, right? And that's called a yin point of view. Tree, water, shade, right? Movement. Now, his son, illegitimate son, it was one of the concubines called Judok, usurped the throne because the first emperor's son died before he was able to take the throne. And then the throne was supposed to give to the grandson. But this other son from the concubine was not supposed to be the heir, usurped the power, took the throne. And his mother is a nomad, told him to go. Where? Go north. Go to Beijing. And Beijing is known to be yang. Why? No trees in Beijing. Well, there are trees, not too many. How many of you have been to the Forbidden City? No bathroom. No bathroom. Before you go in, like 2 hours, you got to go, you know. They don't have bathroom. It's yang, right? No water. There's water. Right? No trees, right? You walk around, you're blistering. The sun is hitting you. You're dead. You want to find a tree and hide inside? No, there's no tree. It's yang, right? The yang means sun, tai yang, right? So this two way of conception. The yin is from the south. It's a little bit kind of meandering. The yang is this, the planning comes from Central Asia. These nomads, they're warriors. They're like Genghis Khan, right? Kublai Khan, his grandson, became the emperor of the Yan dynasty. So when they build these northern part, they are sunny. They are military. Wow. They're powerful. They're meant to put you kind of in your place. Well, how does that relate to my talk? Okay, come back. The Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, takes away our sin. We model him. This is a year of, as Christian, I wouldn't say, this is the year of the Lamb. So the year of the Yang Nin is Yin. Instead of fighting strength with strength, you receive. When you have an argument, instead of trying to win, right? In Chinese, it's that yang, right? You step back, right? You allow. You look weak, okay? You appear to be weak. You're willing to take on weaknesses. You're willing to be humble. You're willing to allow people think that you're not that smart. You don't exert yourself in a situation so you could win. There's two ways of looking at life. The Lamb of God is one of submission to the Father, one of willingness to, you know, to step back, willingness to be not recognized, willingness to do things like our Lord Jesus Christ, he washed the feet of the disciples, right? Everyone is arguing, what seat should I sit? What a power. What are the power position that I could occupy? The yin or the lamb steps back and say, how can I serve? How could I love someone else? How could I take care of someone who's in need? Very different conception of our Christian life. We don't have to win. We don't have to exert ourselves to be recognized. We step back in the shade, not seen. Not under the sun. There will be time. The Lamb of God is powerful. In the book of Revelation, this Lamb's got teeth. He's got sword coming out of his mouth. He will judge. He will overcome his enemy with power. But in the future, in the kingdom. But now, when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he portrayed a very different portrait of how to be a Lamb of God. A passive. One that is willing to be wrong and not open his mouth. The lamb was led to slaughter. Instead of fighting, you know, he submit. He allowed the situation. In Chinese, that willing to have quiet, to be kind of take on wrong, long-suffering. Relationship, very important. More than accomplish a goal, more than achieving a certain kind of objective, the conception of the Lamb is that, how can I demonstrate the love of the Father through this relationship? Even if I have to suffer, even if I have to kind of swallow my pride. And the Lamb of God takes away sin. He calls the disciples. He cares for the disciples. He gave of himself. The Lamb of God was also very practical. Before he went on to the cross, right? The night before he was to accomplish God's will, you know, the most important task in the history of the universe, that he was going to go to the cross and hung there and gave of his life for the whole world, for you and I. Guess what he did the night before? What would you have done? You and I would probably have a prayer meeting, right? Lord, bring all your friends. Oh, man, I'm going to be nailed on the cross tomorrow, right? Pray for me so I could kind of, so you have this grand kind of thing for you. But guess what Jesus did? He provided a meal. He prepared a Passover meal. He went to bring a lamb. Had somebody select a lamb. Prepare the lamb. Had a dinner. The Last Supper. This is it. It's not just a ceremony. It's a practical demonstration of his love and practical concern for his disciples, for himself. Before he's going to go to the Roman and be interrogated, before he was going to drag through the street with a cross and whip and bleed, before he was going to hang on the cross, he's got to have a meal. Bad enough that I suffer, right, painfully, but I want my stomach to be filled. You know, I don't have to worry about this thing growling, right? The disciples, all these guys ready to fight and die. You got to eat something first, right? You're going to get hungry. You start fighting, you're hungry, your stomach's growling. Very practical. A lamb that's providing care. Caretakers. You know, in Chinese, that there's a, in Cantonese, there's a, you know, saying when we see people, sick to fan mea. In Toi San, in my dialect, hea mea. It's not just a kind of, you know, these elderly ladies, soon says, oh, we have something to eat, Pastor. You know, your stomach's going to growl when you preach. We don't hear your stomach growling when you're preaching. So they got a little something for you to kind of warm your stomach. Our Lord Jesus Christ, before he went to the cross, he was so detail-oriented. He cared for his disciples. He prepared a meal. I mean, you know, most hero, you don't see that, right? Most king of the universe, right? Caring for you, that you got enough to eat, you something to drink, because the days are rough, right? And so we follow the Lamb of God, try to be humble, try to see detail, right? People's need, you walk by in the street, this guy's asking you for some money, well, hey, get some ready, just give. Last week was Purim. It's a Jewish holiday where the Book of Esther, remember the Book of Esther? When this Queen Esther, who, I don't know, his uncle Mordecai, his adopted father, said, you better go to the king and, or else, you know, something's going to happen. I'll expose you. She mustered enough courage to expose the plot that the Persian, you know, wicked official tried to exterminate the Jews. Well, one of the things that the Jews who follow that Purim story is that I didn't know that until I had a Bible study with a rabbi in Chinatown. She said, in Purim, they dress up like Halloween, right? People are so happy. They have masks, they have costumes, run around the street. So I thought they were crazy. The other thing that they do is that they give. They don't ask questions. They give freely. They have money in the pocket. When they see somebody ask for money, they give it to them. When they see somebody on the street who, you know, who looks like they need money, they just give it to them. He said, that is the time when you just give freely, right? You just care for people's need, right? You don't become judgmental. Is he worthy? Is he going to go buy coffee? Is he going to buy alcohol? No, no. They have this generosity of care for people. I think that's what maybe the year of the Lamb is. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ cares so much about us and the people who need him. He gave of his life. You know, not just a lamb. He gave his own life as the Lamb of God to sacrifice for the sin of you and me. And so for us to celebrate this year, and maybe you could come up with a story, right? So that you could be a witness to God that this is year of the Lamb. Say, what? Lamb, ram, or goat? I got it. I heard a sermon on ram, goat, and sheep. I got it all clear. But we want to say that this is the year of the Lamb for the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He came, he gave his life for you and I, and we come together each week to remember him and to be like him. We want to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you gave yourself to us as a sacrificial lamb. You didn't complain. You were led away to be slaughtered, but there was no complaint in your breath because you love us so much and you care for us. May we be the sheep of the flock, be like our master, the lamb who is sent by our Lord. May we give of ourselves too. May we be gentle like the lamb. May we step back when we are tempted to fight back. May we find opportunity to unite the relationships that we have, both at home, at church, and at work. Maybe be gentle as our Lord Jesus Christ. May we love and care for one another, just like he has shown how much he loved and cared for his disciples. He's very practical. He knows their need. They were hungry. He prepared a meal. May we also be very practical in showing forth the love of God through the example of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of this world so that we could become children of this kingdom. I pray this in our Lord's name. Amen.